good evening. It is Intuitive Soul with your host, Lori Houston. Intuitive Soul, clearing a path to divine consciousness. And tonight, I have one of my favorite guests. I think we have an amazing connection, and I always love having you here. It's Dr. Lori Moore. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. I feel the same way. I'm so happy about our connection, and being on your show is always a delight.
So tonight, we were going to talk about the journeys of animals as shamans.
Yes, because animals are such wonderful guides at taking us on journeys during which we learn states of unconditional, that can be unconditional peace or bliss or abundance or love, compassion, forgiveness. The qualities of benevolence go on and on, and animals will often come into our lives to take our hand and guide us into the awareness of those kinds of energies.
Yeah, and I noticed, you know, I think it was in the spring that you were thinking of going to Africa to see the elephants, and the elephants were, you know, giving you a lot of information. Let's talk about all that.
Well, I was talking to some elephants long distance, and I've been very touched by elephant communities because many of them operate their society in a way that really helps everyone involved. For people who don't know, animals live in female tribes and male tribes. The male and female children all live with the older females, and then the males, once they grow up, live together. And elephant tribes have been known to stop and walk extremely slowly if one member has a broken leg, for example. Instead of, you know, embarrassing that member or leaving that member behind, there's been elephant, I'm thinking of an elephant tribe I actually read about in the books When Elephant Weep, When Elephants Weep. And he spoke about a tribe where an elephant who was limping or had a broken leg was supported for a long time by the community, just choosing to go in a very slow manner. So I take people on community trips, mostly to Hawaii, where we're with the dolphins, and I've learned a lot about the elephants because my emphasis is on how can we support the uniqueness of each individual in a way that also empowers the strength of the love between everyone in the community. And you know, the answers are very basic. They come down to the kind of kindness that the elephants demonstrate.
Wow. I mean, it's so fascinating because we are all so unique as people and as humans on this planet. And, you know, I say this all the time, but I don't think we recognize and acknowledge just how incredible other animals are.
Yes, well, every single animal and every single person comes shining with a gift. And if we could spend every single interaction we have simply being appreciative and assuming the person or animal before us is gifted and a miracle, then we would have individual peace and world peace in my assertion of everything.
I agree.
Good, I'm glad we agree.
So you connected with, we're going to talk about all the different animals you've connected with and maybe some of the messages that they're offering, but so you connected with the elephants in Africa, and I think you had a, you know, a deep connection with them. They seemed to be needing our assistance, and then you connected with some elephants from somewhere else that didn't necessarily need our assistance as much, but were just as open and loving.
Yes. At that time, I was called to start talking to elephants around the world. And for people who don't know, the animals all can speak long distance. They use telepathic heart email all the time. And so they're in connection with whoever they're talking to in the moment. Unlike people, they don't need a telephone or a computer. So at that time, just in the same way that before I went off to start swimming with dolphins and being with whales and bringing people to do that, I began the relationship telepathically. Or really, I can't say I began it. It began. It chose me. It chose us. Somehow I found myself in communication with dolphins and then whales and then elephants. And I recognized each time what was happening because of the distinguishing characteristics of the species who was energetically approaching me long distance. Later, I asked for proof. When I went over to Hawaii, for example, I looked over the water's edge. I think I've shared this with your listeners before, and said to the ocean, if I'm just nuts and making this up, I want to know, but if I'm really was called here as I felt so deeply by these whales, I'd like a sign. And immediately, a whale jumped up and started making the whale's tail go up and down for about half an hour. So the elephants I have not yet physically connected with. This is only the beginnings. And, you know, years ago it was the beginnings with the dolphins and whales before eventually I physically spent time with them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the dolphins and the whales. I mean, they're very, I would say they're very different, but yet they're uniquely similar, I guess, as well. But talk about...
Yes, the dolphins are so joyful and blissful, and they really taught me how wonderful it is to be in duality and to experience each relationship as potentially very blissful and joyful. Now, the dolphins are sometimes misperceived. There's rumors that, oh, well, the dolphins just feel happy all the time. And if we look into the root word, the etymology of the word happy, well, yes, that's true, because happy means to exist in motion and experience all the different emotions that come and go in the moment. So the dolphins are no different than the humans emotionally. They feel everything. They feel happy, sad, joyful, eager, jealous, you know, everything, but they hold it in a bigger space of the bliss that they are. And they can translate that scientifically through their sonar and etherically just through their being states to people who are swimming with them or who are simply near to them. The whales take us into such states of deep devotion of oneness.
Mm.
When people use the term oneness, it can be quite vague and abstract. But once you tune in to the energy field of a whale and you're in communication with the whale, you will know what oneness is. It is the truth of our existence. We are in a fabric of oneness with everyone and everything that can be fully experienced in that way. And the whales are such amazing guides in taking people back to that kind of love and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So I take people every summer now over to be with the dolphins, and we actually have a 30-day satsang summer camp. Satsang means to be in the truth of one another, to be in the love with each other, to reveal what is sincerely being experienced in a environment with each other. And that creates a kind of awakening in people. And so people will be coming for either 5, 10, or 30 days, their choice, to our Hawaii satsang summer camp next July and August, and there will be opportunity to be in the water with the wild dolphins who choose to swim with us.
Yes.
We can't chase them. We can't go after them. They can swim much faster than us, and of course, we wouldn't want to chase them or go after them. But we've done many, many, many trips now over to Kalakekua Bay on the Big Island, and every single time my people have swum with the dolphins. We have yet to have a trip where the dolphins didn't swim with us.
Hmm. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Would be quite incredible to spend 30 days in, well, one, just in Hawaii, and two, in a spiritual retreat.
Yes. Up until last summer, the retreats, wherever I gave them, were always 2, 5, or at most 10. But last summer, we had our first 15, and people were so happy and grateful. We went into such deep, deep states of creation, manifestation, healing, awakening, and feeling like we were living the life that we were meant to live with such love and care and depth of connection between people and animals. And so there was such a sadness about leaving, although once people got back, they reported they brought back to their worlds what they had prospered and and gained in fulfillment inside themselves there, but still there was a desire to be there longer, so I decided to arrange the 30-day summer camp, which will be in the latter part of July and the early part of August. And then those who just would like to come for 5 or 10 days, which is deeply fulfilling in itself, will come the first 5 or 10 days of the program.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. So what are the messages that the animals are offering at these times of great, I don't even know what to call it. I think, you know, the energies are getting so intensified and everything seems to be speeding up so quickly.
Yes. Underneath it all, there's a deepening reservoir of peace and joy and love, which has always been available. And the animals, many, many animals stay in the intention and awareness of that. So they don't let circumstances be the most important reality. Circumstances are only part of reality. They let the intention of their existence in the quality they choose, whether that's love, peace, joy, forgiveness, compassion, etc., to be their primary place of residence. And it is our opportunity to make our primary place of residence those qualities. And how we do that can begin in gratitude, more deeply in forgiveness, and can really happen so naturally when we don't fight anything that shows up in consciousness. So if hatred or anger or jealousy or sadness or all of the other forces on our planet and in our personal selves that don't feel preferable show up, if we allow our heart and our whole being and our body to just be 100% present in that, it becomes sensation, and then we slip into this glorious place where all is fine. It always has been. It is so well. It is so wonderful, and the circumstances of life just move like a dance through preferred times and non-preferred times.
Yes, and I know that, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but knowing those moments of clarity and knowing those moments of, you know, bliss and peace. And yet, you know, we all get caught up in the moment and the life that seems to live us instead of us participating in the life.
Yes, and so we have the tool of gratitude. We have the tool of forgiveness. We have the tool of love. And we have the tool of simply facing 100% what is here beyond our story about it and beyond our reaction to it, to just be in its sensation. So anyone who chooses to make that the basis of their existence will report deeper and deeper and deeper states of a natural love and oneness taking over, even in circumstances that might have been challenging or circumstances that feel good. So it's really a choice at this point. Enough tools are now given on the planet that if personal peace is desired, it will come. And, of course, global peace is just a ratio. It means that enough people are vibrating at personal peace. I don't know what the whole planet will choose together. I only know what I'm choosing and many of the animals I meet are choosing and a nice number of people I meet are choosing.
And are there messages that the animals would like to give us about this time that they are specifically seeing or feeling or going through?
Well, once again, the message for the message of the animals is the invitation for many of the animals. I mean, everyone has a different purpose. So one animal might be here to teach their person compassion. One animal might be here simply to play. Every animal comes in with an intention, a duty, a responsibility they've chosen as their joyful life path. And so each individual animal will have a message. The message is their existence. So Jesse Boy, for example, my cat, one of his messages is joy. But he's not going around telling people to be joyful. That's what humans do. We ruin everything because we don't ruin it. That was an extreme statement. But we really waste a lot of the precious gift that life is by giving each other instructions rather than vibrating instructions. So Jesse's way of sharing joy with everybody is to vibrate joy. And then I'm not poo-pooing instructions. I'm giving instructions as I talk. I'm looking for words to match what my intention is of vibrating. But animals are always showing by example, by being peace or being love. And their messages are really, really simple, and they come down to that. And when people tell you animals are giving them really complicated information, I differ with that information. You know, when people tell you that angels and animals are giving you detailed information, I don't believe they're talking. The angels are real, and the animals are real, and it's not my experience that angels and animals work in that paradigm. They work in a paradigm of very deep intention. It's called awakening. It's what Jesus was vibrating. It's what Kuan Yin was vibrating. It's what all the great masters on the planet are vibrating. It's beyond a message of words. It is existence through one of the 99 qualities that the Sufis talk about, or the qualities of goodness the Jews or Christians or talk about, or the benevolent qualities that the Buddhists talk about. Their messages are the vibration of the benevolent qualities.
Okay, that makes sense. And then each species sort of has its own unique qualities that it, so you can't say that all elephants, you know, radiate a certain quality, or that all whales radiate a certain quality, or all dolphins. It's really each
one. That's a really good question. You could say that whales together radiate devotion and oneness, and dolphins together radiate bliss, and then within the tribe, each one, or in the community, or some dolphins live. I know one dolphin who just lives with his wife and his baby, and I know some dolphins live by themselves, and I know Dean Bernal's friend lived, you know, kind of with Dean for many years. So they live in different ways, but getting back to your question, each one, as you astutely pointed out, has a specific intention. So within the group that shares an intention, like cats really teach about the dream world, the magic, and how to combine the two worlds of the outer and the inner, but each cat has his or her own purpose. I've probably talked to hundreds of cats, because people call me for cat and dog and other readings quite frequently, and each cat I talk to has a very specific purpose. I talked to a cat last night whose purpose was love. I talked to one cat who is opening up people's eyes and giving them different ways of looking. I talked to a cat whose purpose was compassion. Some cats come in to teach lots of people. Some cats come in just to teach a specific person. Some cats don't come in to teach. They come in to experience something themselves, like being care or being cared for. And so, as you astutely pointed out, each individual has their own focus for their incarnation, just like each person.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really, like you said, a vibration. It's what they hold for the planet.
Yes, they hold it. They are it. It's beyond them. It goes to the core of existence. It's in the heart of the one creation, and it is their individual self as well. Yes. Yes, so really I'm inviting people to step into a different paradigm of understanding, because this could be understood intellectually and logically, which is a very wonderful tool. And yet it's a feeling paradigm, because intention and vibration, like you said, vibration really it has to be felt, but it's felt as awareness in the heart, but it's also felt as knowledge. So you can be vibrating joy, and there's an awareness of it that is joy, that is a kind of knowledge, but it's not a kind of knowledge that you could write paragraphs about. It just is one vibration that's experienced.
Now, we've often talked about cats because of Jesse and because of Jasper, my kitten. And, you know, I do notice that you actually have a dog as well. Is that correct?
I don't have a dog. I just live with my significant other, Ray, and I, and Jesse, boy, we live as a trio. But I've never actually lived with a dog. But I do love dogs and have talked to many, many dogs. And I find them to be beautiful beings, yes.
But different than cats.
Oh, so different, yes. I've learned so much about loyalty and being extremely present in this physical world from the dogs that I've talked to. And from the cats, I've learned much more about being present in other worlds and bringing those other worlds into this world. So, like the cats, the dogs share commonality. They share a vibration of protectiveness and great loyalty and care. And then, like you said, within all the many different dogs, each one has an individual purpose. I was talking to, the other day to a woman who had many dogs who had passed over, and it was so amazing to tune into all of them because they were exactly the same soul as when they lived on the site. I was telling her about them, and she said they were exactly like that before they passed over. So they were the same soul energies, and they were all so different. One was really a guide of tenderness, and one was a being of joyfulness, and each had their own intention and role. And really, it was beyond choice. It's kind of like the creation of life energizes us and creates us into existence, into some kind of energetic archetype. And I don't know that we could even choose that. We just are that, just like each person is a particular kind of energy.
Yeah, I find it also very fascinating. And, I mean, you pretty much can talk to any animal.
I've been so happy to have these wonderful times because people have called me about their birds, their goats, their rabbits, insects, wild animals who have showed up in their life, horses. Yes, all animals talk heart to heart and talk long distance. I have a lot of hawk friends in my life, hummingbirds, ravens. There's a coyote who's come into my life recently. And there's just all kinds of animals I've talked to. I haven't named probably half of them, but yes, any animal I love talking with.
What is it like talking with insects?
Oh, wow, that was such an amazing learning experience when the insects started coming and coming into my house and sitting on my desk and looking at me. Especially Lucy the beetle, who we have the most sweetest photos of her. I've mentioned her a lot. She would knock on the door, and you could really hear it, and I'd go open the door. She was able to kind of bang her body on the door. And she was just such a sweet friend, and she liked to sit with me, and she liked to hear me play the guitar. One time I was practicing, and Ray was my significant other was listening, and then I looked down and I saw Lucy was sitting next to Ray, and we would wake up in the morning sometimes, Ray, Jesse the cat, and I, and Lucy would have joined us. She'd be in the bed, like snuggled next to Jesse the cat. We have some sweet photos of them. She also liked to make grand entrances. One time we hadn't seen her for a really long time, and I heard Ray calling, "Lucy's back!" And I thought, "What happened?" And I ran in. Ray was in the kitchen, and Lucy had flown in. We had the doors open because it was summer. She had flown around his head in a circle and just plopped herself right in front of him. And then when she saw me, she flew over, landed on my leg, and stayed there for about 2 hours. So if I had any doubt that the insects were intelligent, it was erased.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you train so that insects are not attacked?
So they didn't attack us?
No. So that, I mean, Jasper would go crazy if there was a beetle in the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did see Jesse make, because Jesse is a hunter, and I did see him making a certain look at Lucy, and I just told him, "Jesse, Lucy's your little sister." And after that, he was very kind to her. They cuddled and everything. But I did see them kind of running around the hall one time, but I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Lucy was flying back and forth. Jesse was running, and I came in, and Lucy just came and landed right by my feet, and then Jesse ran over and just kind of sniffed her, and everything was fine. So he agreed, basically, to take her in as a sister.
I guess that's important, yes.
I would have never guessed these things would have happened to me. This is nothing I expected in life, but it's been just so exciting and blissful and really wonderful to have these friends from different species.
Now, I've tried myself every once in a while to connect. I find wasps are, you know, because you want, you know, "I don't want to hurt you. Would you please just leave the house?" Or, you know, but they get so distracted so easily. They seem to be on a mission, and then they get just distracted.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, they're just doing their focus as they see fit with what they see their life purpose and what they need to do is. So, I'm not sure exactly what happened.
No, it's just I find that they're you don't want to hurt them, so it's like, okay, I don't really want you in the house, so if you could just leave, you know, the same way you came in, sort of thing. And but you know, some of them seem to respond quite nicely, just fly back out, and some of them get like distracted by something, and then they just
know,
and you're trying to get their attention to go, okay, so out you go.
yeah they get focused on something else and forget that you had asked them to go.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
That because they seem very, if like you said, focused. They're just like, they've got, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm supposed to be doing this. Oh, wait. Oh, no, this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll believe you. I don't know wasps very well. I've hung out with yellow jackets quite a lot, but I haven't had any personal friendships with wasps yet, so I don't know a lot about them.
Okay. I don't know the difference between a wasp and a yellow jacket.
Well, yellow jacket is, they have yellow on them. And
right.
People call them bees a lot. And
right.
They go om. If there's a whole bunch of them, you'll hear them saying om. It's really wonderful. I've found that they're very happy to sit on my hand without stinging, despite their reputation, and they're very friendly. Yeah.
Interesting. I think they're the only type of wasp we have that I've seen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we have something we call a wasp, and we have something else we call a yellow jacket here.
Okay.
And you're calling me from Toronto. You're on Canada, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up on the East Coast in Maryland of the United States, and we had a different term for yellow jacket and wasps. Yeah.
Well, I get that a lot. They say, "Oh no, that's a yellow jacket," and it's like, well,
"Oh, okay." Okay.
Yeah, I just don't know the difference. Hmm. Yes, I find insects fascinating.
Yeah, they vibrate at an extremely high pace frequency, and they can vibrate in a very, very creative vibration where they're very in touch with how we manifest our realities and how we can shift our realities. They know a lot about healing and responding to diseases and shifting diseases. There was, I actually had a beautiful interaction with a bee in Hawaii who did some healing physically on my heart. I had been very tired and burned out, and the bee sat with me and actually sent a vibration right into my heart and gave it a mending. It was quite wonderful. They're very skilled healers, some of them.
Was that a honeybee?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Because I hear that a honeybee's vibration is quite high. And a lot of them have been leaving certain areas because they find the fear has been too great.
Ah, I didn't know that, but I would take your word for it.
Yeah.
Or they have some reason to leave the area.
Yeah.
I know some places have just been, a lot of chemicals have been sprayed, and that's caused them to die out.
Yes.
Some of that happened here where I live.
And what about birds? You mentioned birds. I mean, I know that we've talked about your hawks before. Like I have this connection with these swans that are in close to my area. When I go for my walk, I usually see them, and usually there's something significant they're trying to portray. But I mean, I love swans.
Yes. Well, we've been very blessed because it seems just that wherever we've lived, hawks have come to befriend us. And I think just about every time I've left town to teach a seminar, hawks have found me. Even driving, hawks seem to be wherever I go. And they take my heart into this deep, soaring, flying, wonderful arena. And they've taken me through many lessons where I've had to question what's most important to me and find even deeper, deeper levels of flying and soaring in the ecstatic peace in the midst of all kinds of circumstances. And they're just wonderful friends. And one hawk and I like to wave to each other. When we see each other, this hawk comes and circles around my head, and then I wave, and that hawk waves back by moving the wings up and down. So I've been taken into, almost lifted off of my human awareness, and then being able to be separate enough from it and in it at the same time. It's kind of like the expression to be in the world and not of it. The hawks have really taught me how that feels.
Mm.
And then I can operate and give and care about the world, but be from a different place. The hawks have helped me with that very much.
Hmm. Yeah.
Then all kinds of birds. I love the hummingbirds, and I've had some very close hummingbird friends who like to buzz and just sit in front of my face and, you know, buzz with joy. It's so sweet, and I know that happens with lots of people. Hummingbirds are very friendly.
Hmm.
They like to come. When you're feeling joy, they seem to find you. I've heard this from a lot of people and experienced myself. They like that vibration, so if you're in joy, they might just show up, you know, in front of your face and just sit there for a while vibrating and being in joy with you.
Hmm.
They're very sweet. And I've had experiences with so many different birds now who've come to the property and just been really wonderful, wonderful to get to know. If people go to my website, a lot of times I write the stories up in the articles or the books. So annamiracles.com, when you go to the article page, you can read all about different birds. It's ANIMiracles.com.
Hmm. Okay, so what other animals can we discuss? So, you know, the other day I came across a skunk, and I know that they are, you know, extraordinarily gentle animals and typically don't get upset. And, you know, it just waddled across, but it waddled twice. So it was in front of me on one, and I thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to the other side, and then it crossed to the other side. So it was definitely giving me a message.
Well, it was talking to you about innocence, and it was talking to you about protecting yourself, and it was talking to you about when the vibration of anger comes up inside of you to allow it to come up within innocence. And that would mean to not really know exactly what the situation is or if anyone else involved, what their viewpoint is, to just know that there's a call for you to offer yourself a kind of protection in some way, a boundary or a caretaking of yourself. And that can be done in an innocence so that it can be done in a trust instead of a mistrust, because it would be just a normal thing that happens in life. And so that skunk was talking to you about that. And, you know, of course, skunks will, if they need to protect themselves, they'll spray. But it doesn't mean maliciousness or meanness. It just means they've reached the point that they feel they might be dishonored. And so they're trying to get people's or whoever's attention. And so the skunk just invited you to be aware when anger comes up of your innocence and the innocence of anyone else involved, and create protection around you with an innocence of not knowing what's going on for everyone else.
Without needing to know.
Yeah, you don't need to know in some situations. Let's say you're working closely with someone, it's a personal friend or a colleague or whatever, then you might need to know. But then if you go from that innocence, then you can sit down and ask questions and find out what both of you have on your mind and figure it out.
Right.
And, you know, whether you need to know or not is depending on the particular situation.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. It
yeah.
certainly makes sense for that period when it was happening. So
yeah,
yes.
It usually does. Makes sense. It's a synchronicity about the planet. It's not really like the skunk says, okay, that person needs a lesson about such and such. It's just the synchronicity of the awareness of that animal and the awareness of the person coming together happens naturally in life by what needs to manifest. So if a teaching and a teacher is needed, the universe takes care of putting the teacher and the student together. It gets worked out naturally in the synchronicity of the universe, in my experience.
Right. Now, you mentioned that recently a coyote has come into your...
Yeah, it's the third time. Coyotes have been in my life three times. The first time was when, you know, Jesse Boy was taken by a coyote and reincarnated.
Yeah.
Of course, when he was taken, when I had picked him up at the SPCA and first met him, this is, you know, a decade or something ago, he had so many diseases. I mean, they told me he was fine, but I was giving him insulin. He had a chiropractor and a acupuncturist, and he was on herbs because he had eight threatening life diseases, and he had to have a, like, $2,000 operation to live about 2 weeks after I brought him home.
Right.
So it wasn't easy for him in his physical body, even though he was my teacher of joy. And the best thing, one of the best things that ever happened in my whole life is when he switched bodies through his reincarnation, because it rocked and changed my world so deeply that I just started living in states of openness, of oneness and love, and I changed, my whole life changed, everything I did changed. And so it was a beautiful, beautiful experience that I went through that. It turned out to be good. So when Jesse came back, he said, please don't be mad at the coyotes. And then we re-met coyotes once he was back, and I really asked them to just really respect our family, and they said they would, you know, meaning please just leave Jesse alone. He came back 5 weeks later, and they said yes. They just wanted to talk to me. This was a different group of coyotes because we moved, and they said, please just respect our family. We just want to be known for who we are. We love our children. We love like you, and we don't want to have a bad rap. And so we stayed in vibrational touch, but we asked them not to come close enough to see them because I did not want Jesse scared or threatened in any way. And they respected that, and we had a relationship for 3.5 years with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved here 2 years ago, and a coyote's been coming and looking at me in the eyes. And I did ask that coyote to expand the territory that coyote is living on so it doesn't come so close to our house, because it will be uncomfortable for Jesse. And I said, you know, I support you in living your life in a beautiful way that works for you, and I'm not going to come into your territory or mess with you, but I just ask you to do that. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It's just the reality of our situation. And so we'll see what that coyote says or does, but I can tell you as I'm speaking, there's something I need to learn from that coyote that isn't clear yet. So it's going to play out, but I'm being assured by Jesse it's going to play out in a very safe way. Everyone's going to be fine, and that coyote is working with me, and I have yet to completely understand the gift. So it will come in the right time. I trust that.
Right.
Yeah.
And coyotes on whole, are they similar to like a wolf energy or a dog energy or what?
Yes, there are similarities, and then there's something different too.
Right.
There's just something vibrationally unique. There's something that's strong and powerful, and there is, in this particular coyote that I've been speaking to, there actually is some anger at what the human race has done. So I'm gonna take responsibility for some anger in myself for what the human race, who is me, I am the human race, as all of us are, has done, and it has to be faced inside of me. It's not bad or good. It's just something that is right now on the planet. And the coyotes also have an understanding of freedom that's very beautiful. Freedom like the hawk, but on the land. Freedom like the dolphin in the water, the hawk in the sky, but the coyotes have it on the land. This coyote and some other ones as we speak are telling me they really want to translate that understanding to the humans, and that we could do a much better job about how we think about preserving the sanctity and the well-being of the human race if we could learn from them. So I'm going to start listening a lot to this coyote. I'm so glad you asked, because I hadn't really given it that much attention. Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be unfolding.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a healing way, because obviously, I think, you know, when Jesse was taken, it was a little bit traumatic, obviously.
Oh, it was the two most devastating things that ever happened to me were my mom died and when Jesse died, and it was extremely traumatic, and I was quite devastated. So 5 weeks later, when I finally got the lesson and understood what unconditional joy was, because I didn't know what that was. I thought joy came from circumstances. So I was always building circumstances around me that would bring out joy in me. And then, of course, that kind of joy is such an up-and-down ride, that joy, grief, joy, grief, joy, grief. And so when finally I got the lesson, Jesse just was able to come back and bring me into a state of oneness. And since then, I understand joy. It has nothing to do with anything. It is itself, and it's available every second. And so the pain and the trauma and the sorrow and the grief of 5 weeks was replaced by the most beautiful miracle when I was shocked and amazed when Jesse was there before my eyes doing everything he needed to assure me it was him in another body. All his little quirks and signals and staring into my eyes for an hour, we were in a state of meditative oneness. And it was, in my faith in the divine, on a scale of 1 to 100, I would say before that happened in my life, to be honest, it was probably like a 50. And it went to, like, I would say 100. And so it was really one of the most amazing turning points in my entire life. I'm so thankful for that whole passage, even the grief and trauma included that had to be part of it for the learning.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we, as much as we say, you know, oh, you know, we don't have to make this journey so difficult, there is something deep and, I guess, healing is the word, when we do honor our emotions and honor our grief and honor our anger and honor, you know, whatever it is that we go through.
Thank you for saying that, because the babies cry and laugh, and I don't think they're storing up stories about it. If anyone out there thinks I'm wrong, correct me, please, but I believe that if we could just be with the sensations as they came, of the happiness, the sadness, the grief, the ecstasy, everything would just be fine, and our physical nature and personality would be able to stay in the present moment so much more easily. You know, the soul is in the present moment, and the personality and the body rebels only because so many bizarre rules get placed on it in society, and it starts to think it's wrong for the very nature of how it was created. It was created emotionally, and it has expressions. And how many times do people get told, oh, you shouldn't feel that way, or, you know, it's like, you shouldn't feel that way. That's like telling an apple tree, you know, you shouldn't grow apples. That doesn't make any sense. You feel how you feel, and if you could just be 100% with it instead of talking about it, it just moves like the summer moves to the fall, winter to the spring. It's a very natural. I think what you said is so true. And it's in that intensity that we really do go deeper and deeper back to God, Goddess, whatever word we want to use for that universe, higher power, the self. We go back to that deep, deep, deep love that holds everything. It really holds everything. And so there's really no problem with anything that we're feeling. There's no problem with any feeling. The only problem is we start to resist the feeling, and then we really create some some unnecessary hardship for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be kind and forgive ourselves, because this is a very deep patterning that's grown out of many years of consciousness and cultures. And so to undo it is quite a task of grace and willingness. And so we have to be tender and compassionate with ourselves. That's a lot of the work I do, why people call me to do sessions, sometimes to find out more about their animals, but often to release self-defeating habits and to change their life, their relationship, their problems with addictions, their create their desires, because we need a hand to hold and we need a mentor to help us when we're unraveling from all these conditionings that get a hold of us. Like you said before, it's much easier said than done is so true. You didn't use those words, but it's basically what you said at the beginning of the interview. And that's true. And that's why I offer myself, because I've been so given to and helped by mentors and teachers and loving people along the way when hardships have befallen, that I like to, I went and got that therapy license years ago and all the training so that I can take people and be by their side in a loving, compassionate way and help them get to the other side, to where they're wanting to go. And I'm so grateful that I've been blessed to actually be by the side of hundreds of people from all over the world since I do my practice on the phone, who've changed self-defeating habits, relationships, all kinds of life problems. I have no judgment about people's problems. I've heard so many different problems, and I just think, you know, that's normal. It's completely what life is about, is facing our challenges and then finding the deeper, deeper love and strength and joy that holds that.
Right. And so do most people come to you with an animal, and then the animal shares with you, you know, what they're sort of working through? Or do people, you know, does it work both ways where they come just for themselves?
A lot of people just come to me for therapy and coaching and counseling on their own. And then a percentage of those people come because they want to find out what's their animal's feeling or thinking. So people come through both routes. And people who feel a desire to get that kind of help or support but just want to talk to me on the phone for 10 minutes and, you know, run their problem by me and, you know, get a little idea, would it be a good idea for them to sign up for a session, can just call me at no charge and we can talk a little bit and figure that out. And my phone number is 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. Then we can set up a free 10-minute consult, get to the bottom of what the situation is, and I can talk to you about how I can assist you to assist yourself and overcome what has been causing you pain.
Hmm.
Other people just want to talk to their animal, and, you know, we don't need a consult for that. They just call and set up a session, and then I let them know everything their animal's feeling and thinking and answering all their questions, and that can be for animals on this side or the other side, and that would just be the same phone number, 831-477-7007.
Nice. Hmm. It makes me want to ask what Jasper's been going through, because he went through a period in the summer where he got attacked by a cat. He kind of got out. There was a little bit of an altercation before he, that day, at a window, and I think the cat is a Bengal cat, so it's a little bit wilder, and it sort of, I think it threw itself at him at the window, and then when he got out for 2 seconds and I was just about to get him, the cat then attacked him, and then since then he's sort of been, we're working on it, a pattern of him marking territory inside because the other cat marks territory outside.
Well, you know, Jasper's kind of in waiting for you, because there's another dynamic to this, which is that there's something happening that in your heart, and at the time that this occurred, there was a lot of pain in your heart and in Jasper's heart about something. And this has been highly resolved, but there's a step that Jasper's kind of waiting to see how this plays out and what decision you make. I don't know exactly what this decision is. I know that Jasper's saying you did a lot of healing in your heart since then, and there's still something. It's close to finish, but there's still another layer of your heart that's beckoning you for attention to do the final healing on whatever was bothering you.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Sort of. I mean, I the timing might be slightly off. I think it sort of happened, and then everything else sort of happened after that. I think the pain was after slightly, but yeah, I think
somewhere in the same period. But
yeah.
You recognize the pain in your heart.
So yeah, it was
okay.
In grief again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fine, and you're probably, you know, that's your nature is the heart. So those
yeah.
of us whose home is in the heart, some is more in the mental body or the physical body. But those of us who live with our home more in the heart do go through deeper and deeper, often levels of. Joy and levels of grieving. It is what cleanses us out over time. So that's to be expected. And just another level came up, and Jasper's saying there were external circumstances that brought it up, and that's just your path.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a special cat.
Yeah, yeah. He's right there with you, and he can't tell you what to do, but he can sit there and hold the space for you and offer you what is in your highest interest, and then wait to see what you do, which you usually do what's in your highest interest. But he kind of has to wait sometimes, because that kind of patience he's giving you is just his offering to you.
Hmm.
And it's his nature. Not because he's a cat, because not every cat is patient, but because he's him.
Right.
Yeah.
As he sleeps in a little ball right now, but yes.
But he's asleep, but he's also very, the cats can be physically resting their body, and they can be completely able to communicate. They can be bathing, they can be doing anything. They don't break off the communication ties when they sleep. And the truth is, we don't either.
Right.
We just don't always remember. Sometimes we open up a lot of communication when we sleep. Or we can just tell the universe that we need to sleep now, and we're just going to be in touch with our own source and not talking to others. But communication goes on between beings all the time, whether we're sleeping or bathing or cooking or whatever. There's a lot of communications going on between animals and people and the elements, and it doesn't stop ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So...
Oh, I wanted to say something that, you know, I had a very interesting experience on the phone the other day with people sometimes call to test me, and I wanted to talk about this because I honor that as valid. I mean, that's never happened between you and me, but it's something that needs to be talked about openly because people often worry, are these animal communicators just making stuff up? And that's a really important question. You want to know if you can trust. And of course, all of us who are animal communicators wonder ourselves. That's why I always ask for my own tests to come where when an animal tells me something and I report it to the person, I have to find out what the person says to make sure this is really what's going on. And someone was testing me. I don't do well with tests. I didn't even do well with tests as a little girl. I don't know why. They just make me very nervous. And, you know, I could get over it maybe, but it's a biological reaction I still have. And when people are testing me, they don't tell me, but it becomes obviously like we're talking heart to heart, and all of a sudden we're talking in this other place, like it's not heart to heart, and I react. And so I just, what I've been doing is being really honest with people. And I told the woman on the phone, I said, you know, I'm not going to be able to answer your question because I'm not feeling the heart in this, and I'm not feeling your animal responding to this, because animals don't work the way you're working right now. But I do want you to know that it's valid for you to want to test me, because your intention is to find out, am I telling you the truth? And that's a good intention. So what I'm going to do, I do this a lot, is I'm going to ask your animal to give me some information that only you know. And then once you have that information, you'll be able to trust that I am indeed talking to your animal. So the animal said to me, deaf. And I said, deaf, okay, I don't know what it means. So, but I knew it meant somebody in the house was deaf. So I asked her, is there someone hard of hearing in your house? And she goes, yeah, my husband. And then the animal told me, won't go outside, trapped inside. And I'm thinking, this woman loves her animal. She wouldn't do that. So I was very hesitant to ask because I didn't want her to think I was accusing her. And it came up a few minutes later. She goes, I've been feeling so depressed lately, and inside, not leaving my house. Mm. And so... I'm bringing this all up because I want people to know that if you want to test an animal communicator, you know, it might not work because you get into this very mental space, but if you want to know if they're telling the truth, just ask them to talk to the animal while and share some things that are important. And animals have always given me information that allows their person to be at ease and find out, yes, that is their animal I'm talking to, because I'm knowing things that I had no other way of knowing. I hope that helps people out there if they're feeling a doubt, because doubt is very understandable. I have doubt, and I test all kinds of things.
And isn't it true, though, sometimes the way animals see things are not necessarily the way we see things?
Yes. People who can really feel their heart, understand their animals a lot better, and sometimes it's just like when you live in a family, if you interview every family member or a couple, couples come in to me for counseling or call on the phone for relationship counseling, well, sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, are you two in the same relationship? Because if you had come in separately, I would have never guessed in a million years. But see, that's the nature of reality. We all have a different point of view based on what we're studying and based on what we're coming to learn. But see, what we share at base is love and peace. And if we keep returning to that, our different viewpoints will be a gift. Even if challenging, will be a gift. So your animal's viewpoints will, of course, be different than yours because each one has a unique viewpoint. But they will often know so much about you that you will begin to feel very non-judged and very cared for and very deeply seen in ways you didn't know anyone else saw you. They know a lot about your strengths and your talents, your gifts, your struggles, your weaknesses, and the things you want to hide, but they don't judge you for it. I don't judge people for it either. That's why when sometimes I deliver some information to them, that their animal told me, they can hear it better through their animal than directly from me. And so somehow the animal got a hold of me and told me something that then they hear it, they realize nobody's judging them, so they can stop judging themselves and we can get down to business and work out whatever this is that's been bothering them so long. Because sometimes people call me and they say there's a problem with the animal, but it turns out there's a problem they're having with themselves that they're embarrassed about, and then the animal just opens up the door to talk about it.
Yeah, that was sort of the question I was leading the last time, but yes.
Some people say, well, then you're just being psychic and you're saying the animals are doing it. It's actually not true. Yes, I, like everyone else, have telepathic capability, and I am aware of it, and not everyone is aware they have that, but I'm aware everyone has it, and animals tell me things I did not know from their different viewpoints. Often Jesse comes running in while I'm on the phone and tells me, you're missing something here. I listen to what he says, and then the person on the other side of the phone feels so much better understood. So he picks up things that I don't pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I might pick up things that he doesn't pick up. We all do that for each other.
Sure.
We all feel in a different part of the wheel of life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, before we end, we must have, you know, a message from Jesse, if he's available.
Yes, let me ask him what he would like to share, just a minute. Jesse wants to ask people to really honor the forces of nature and the elements that are in communion with us. He's outside right now, and he is interacting with some wind. And he says to take this very seriously, sacredly, seriously but humorously, seriously but lightly. Jesse's told me for years to talk to the moon every night, and he's told me how important that is. And, you know, excuse everyone for my naivety and lack of scientific knowledge. I highly respect science. I'm just not, it wasn't my training, but I only recently found out how the moon, you know, keeps us on our path on Earth. So when I found out that the moon, without the moon, we just go off into rotating around in all kinds of odd, non-symmetrical ways all over the place, it made even more sense to me that Jesse would say to be in gratitude and be talking to the moon every day and the sun every day and the wind and the rain. So Jesse's really asking people to talk, to send your love to these elements of nature that are part of us and with us and caring for us. And I don't know if anyone else out there has experienced when you really give love to flowers, they start emitting a much stronger scent. And when you start talking to the rain or the wind, they really come in friendship. And I've had the breeze come to tell me things. So Jesse just wants to invite everyone to be in a love, caring relationship, interactive with the elements.
Hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Well, it wouldn't
and I
be
wanted
a show.
To invite people who are thinking, wow, maybe that Hawaii trip would be for me, but I'm a little nervous or, you know, whatever, or maybe I should do a session with you, but I'm not quite sure, to just give me a call and spend a little time on the phone with me so we can find out if it's a good fit for you. And once again, I'm at 831-477-7007. My name is Dr. Lori Moore, and I'm at 831-477-7007. I'm in California, and I do work with people internationally by phone.
And I guess we could end with, since this was about animals as shamans, you know, what could they expect from the dolphins? Or
oh,
what should
they will take you into very new realms of bliss, love, forgiveness, joy, and compassion. Even if you are very, very familiar with those qualities, I promise you, you will find those qualities at a whole new depth that you have not encountered before if you come to be with the dolphins.
Mm-hmm. You always hold such a lovely space when you do an interview with me, and I always appreciate it. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for holding such a lovely space as the interviewer. It's always a pleasure. I love being on your show. I get so happy and excited talking to you, so thank you so much.
And is there anything else that you would like to tell us before we end?
I just want to thank everyone, because I know that it's not everyone in the world who would be taking their time to listen to experiences about animals. Not everyone understands how precious and sacred animals are, and I know anyone who does has a very sweet heart. And so I'm very, very grateful for the audience who listens to this both during the show and in the archives after. You're a wonderful group, and I do feel you, and I do thank you with all my heart.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a great evening. I guess it's evening here. It's not quite there, but and I'm sure we will connect again in the new year.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.